In this episode of Why Not You, I've had the opportunity to speak with Mr. Victor Vonico Johnson. He is an author, speaker, coach, real estate investor, certified credit consultant. Who knows what else this dude is genius at? He is making it happen, not only for himself, but for those who want to invest in themselves. Trust me, he is adding value to thousands of people worldwide. Join me in this episode of Why Not You.
Here we go. Loud and clear. All right, everybody. I am joined with Victor V. Johnson from 555 Equity LLC out of Texas, Dallas. I can't believe this brother's from Dallas, though, y'all.
I live in Dallas. I grew up in the Bay Area, lived in Atlanta. But yeah, this is where I call my home now, is Dallas, Texas.
How you doing, V?
Man, I'm doing great, great. Happy to be here, man. Good. Why Not You podcast. I loved it. I can't wait to dig in, man.
Cool. I appreciate you being on, man. This is going to be a fun time.
Before I get it started, though, man, I'd just like to share either a quote or a phrase. And I just happened to be on your IG account.
And I came across this phrase. Start wherever you are. Use whatever you have, do whatever you can. What made you put that up there?
Man, because so many times we as people, you know, the way our mind works, we get frozen from fear, frozen from thinking that we don't have enough, that we lack in some certain area, whether it's mindset, money, credit, all these different things. And, you know, I'm in the real estate space, so I deal with all types of different people that want to get into real estate investing or, you know, flipping houses or buy and hold or whatever it is. And they always get stuck on something. Well, I'm just trying to get this one more course in before I take an action, or I got to save up a little bit more money before I take an action. Start where you are with whatever you have, whenever you can. Like the second that you feel that desire to do it, you just got to go. Right. Because we're not going to have it all figured out. And I just thought that there was somebody out there that needed to hear that, read that. Because I've been there myself, where I just got frozen by my own, what I thought was my lack of something. And it prevented me from moving forward. And I now realize, after going into so many fearful situations, that it's going to be okay. Like, yeah, most of the time, it's not even nowhere near what we are fearing is going to happen. It's going to turn out completely different. So start where you are. Do whatever you got to do. Right where you are. You know what I mean?
Yep. And it's amazing how the mind just plays these tricks on us. Yeah. We actually just feel like, man, if I take this step, man, there's no telling what's going to happen to me. I just feel like I'm just going to be overwhelmed. And these, for some of you, just think the worst instead of having that positive outlook, just being able to see beyond what you currently see in front of you. People have a hard time doing that.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it's something within the mind in general, and it really takes daily practice to fight through some of that stuff. You know, I'm sure we'll dig into a lot of that and, you know, some of the habits that you got to create in order to fight those things. But it really is important to just, you know, you have enough. Mm-hmm. And really, it's more about your intention and commitment to whatever it is that you are working towards. And the universe just cooperates with you. You know what I mean? Like, if you're committed to it, you don't have to worry about the next step. I mean, you need to have some knowledge about what you're doing and where you're going. But as long as you know where you're going, usually, always, the universe will mold things around and attract things to you that will support that goal.
Yeah. Man, so I know you're all about health, wealth, creating a lifestyle that can last generations, just in the real estate game. Can you share actually how you got involved in real estate and why this is important to you?
Absolutely, man. It really goes back farther. You know, I'm in my 40s at this point, so I'm old enough to remember back in the 90s. There was this guy named Carlton Sheets. They used to have these commercials that come on, you know, after midnight, right? Yeah, you can buy houses, no money down, you know, and all this stuff. And, you know, again, we're talking about how you feel like you need more to get things done. And even though I'm reading all these books, I ordered all his tapes and all this stuff, I still felt like I didn't have enough, or I was too black or my credit wasn't good enough to make a move. So the seed was planted back then, right? Both of my grandmothers have some real estate background. My father's mom, she was up in New York State in the 60s buying quads, you know, quadruplexes, fourplexes, you know, as a single black woman. So there was some inspiration there. And my grandmother on my mom's side bought a house in San Francisco in 1961 for $21,000. At her passing in 2017, that house was worth $1 million, you know? So I understood the importance of legacy, but I didn't get active until 2015, where I made a move, kind of fast forward and stuff, but basically I was living in Atlanta at one point. I got a job offer that brought me to Austin, Texas. And we sold our house in Atlanta. I got a few dollars from that sale. And now I'm debt free. I got a job that's paying me double what I was making in Atlanta. So I'm just at this point where I'm like, okay, how do I make sure I don't live this check to check lifestyle? How can I build something for my kids who are getting older and stuff? And so 2015, we broke, you know, we broke ground on our first little rental property. You know, it wasn't much. It was in San Antonio, but it was a start. And it took us 90 days from the time that we decided to do it to actually closing on the property and everything. And that was the start of everything. But it was really the desire from earlier on seeing my grandmothers, you know, be able to build some kind of retirement from their real estate that they had. And knowing that I would just wanted to do something that was more passive and that had a longer impact on my family.
Man, that's that's huge right there, man. I just, you know, just having the guts to be like, you know what, I'm going for this. I'm about to invest in myself and I'm about to take this chance. And you already saw what the outcome is or could be, right? Just with the you know, just with the financial freedom part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it was so funny because, you know, I always talk to people about, again, we just talked about that, D. Wells, man. Like when you commit to something, it's like things start to gravitate towards you that will support that goal.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm in Austin, Texas. I'm like, okay, making more money. I don't have any more debts. What's up? What are we going to do? You know what I mean? And I start listening to talk radio. And I heard this little radio commercial about this, you know, hey, come out to this hotel tonight. We're going to be talking about how you can, you know, start investing in rental properties. You know, it's the typical pitch. And I was like, all right, well, you know, wife, let's go to this thing tomorrow night at this hotel. You know, can't hurt to listen, right? And so listen, they say all the right things about all the ways you can make money from investing in real estate, from principal pay down, from tenants living in your property, you know, from, you know, the tax benefits, from, you know, equity capture and all these different things that I wasn't really familiar with. And I'm like, wow, you know, maybe it's something we should do. And of course, we went to a little 2-day weekend course. We paid for that. Then at the end of that, they're like, hey, give us, you know, 20 grand and we can make you a millionaire by next week. And I'm like, ah, well, you know, I got the stuff I need in these 2 days. We're going to make it happen from this, you know what I mean? From this little bit that I paid. But that was it. You know, we just decided that that was what we wanted to do. And it just seemed like, man, the next 6 months of our life, everything just helped support us being able to get that first property and then the next one and the next one, you know, kind of build a little system in place.
Okay. So were you working with somebody at that time to actually help you, or was this just something that you and your wife just kind of took the initiative and you guys just started implementing the principles?
We went to a company, I won't mention their name now, but we went to a company that basically only taught buy and hold investing, which is basically buying rental properties. And so they give you a booklet, you spend 8 hours on Saturday, 8 hours on Sunday, and they talk to you about investing in single family. Sunday, they talk about how to get into multifamily. And I'm taking copious notes and she taking notes that I'm not taking, so we can kind of merge those notes. And we just decided on Monday we were going to work towards buying our first rental property. And there were a couple people we met through that process. Some people that were new. We met a guy who was part of the lender side of things. And he actually turned out to be a mentor for us. He was, you know, him and his wife saw something in us that was similar to their story in the beginning. And he was like, you know, we really want you guys to succeed at this. And he didn't charge me anything. He just was like, hey, you know, these are the things you probably should be doing. And he really helped me save a lot of money and a lot of mistakes in the beginning. But he was probably my mentor. And so funny you asked that, D-Wells, because I'm literally writing a list of 50 people that have impacted my life positively or negatively over the last 30 years. And I'm literally writing thank you notes and sending, if I don't know how their address, I'm finding them on LinkedIn and sending them a private message. And he was one of the guys, Joey Sullivan, a really cool cat down in Austin. And he and his wife really, you know, cradled me and my wife through our first deal. And so I would say he was our mentor for that
one. And not too, I mean, not too many people actually do that kind of stuff, especially for free, right? Somebody always wants to have a hand out.
Exactly. You know, people have always said, well, the game is to be sold, not told. But, you know, the information is out there. And I'm similar to Joey because he poured into me. I have that same mentality. You know, there's certain expenses we got to cover when we're coaching people. But wherever I can give, I got to give back. You know, we do a youth program. We're teaching kids about this stuff. So there's a lot, you know, that I feel like we all should be looking at what we actually have and giving back, you know, to our community, to our family, to whoever we can to try to help them to get to the next level.
Right. That's outstanding. Because I think that's a, I think there's a huge misconception of real estate, how you need the perfect credit or you need so much money to actually have to invest or put down. And I know there's ways around that, but can you just share some of those things?
Yeah, man, without a doubt, there's several ways that you can do your first real estate deal or future real estate deals without having a lot of cash. Now, I'm not going to sell this story like you could be broke completely. Right. You should have some cash because that gives you a little bit more control. Obviously, the less cash you bring, the less control, the less earnings that you'll make. But if you're just trying to get in, you know, there's a lot of things you could do. For one, partner with somebody who has the capital but doesn't have the time that you may have and the energy and the people skills or whatever it is that your value is that you're bringing. And that's the biggest part, is knowing what value you bring to the table. Are you good with numbers? Are you good with putting together a pro forma? Are you good with understanding the market or talking to contractors? Do you understand the anatomy of a house? You know, things like that. Whatever it is that you bring, partner with the person who has the money and they see you as a value, like, hey, we could do this 50-50. I'll do the cash if you do the deal.
Yeah.
So that was probably the number one way people do it. Secondly, there are people or entities out there known as hard money lenders. They call them hard money because they're actually underwriting on the hard asset, the house itself, as opposed to you as the person. Most of the time when you go buy a house, as a consumer, you are the underwriting specimen. So they're looking at your credit, your income, your debt to income ratio. What other capital do you have already saved? Whereas with these hard money lenders, they're looking at the deal itself. How low of a price are you getting that property? What are you planning to do with that once you have it? Does it, on the back end, after that repair is done, does it match what the highest values are on that block? You know, and so they're evaluating the deal. So you could always do hard money lenders. We talked about, you know, private investors. And then, you know, nowadays, something that I actually did myself is for my first short-term rental. So most of our stuff is long-term leases, you know, people locked in for a year or two. We did our first short-term rental over the summer. And we did not buy the property, which is a brand new model for us. We basically approached a guy who wanted to rent his house out on Craigslist. I went and looked at the house. It was in a great area. It's not far from where I live here. And I know people travel in and out, families all the time. I said, hey, look, man, you know, I'll master lease this property from you. I mean, I'm going to lease it under my company name and I'll be responsible for the rent. But I need the authority to be able to sublease it out, you know, as I see fit. I control the property.
Got it.
And so for, wasn't no money, but for like 15 grand, I was able to pay the rent, pay the deposit, fully furnish the property and start booking. I mean, that was it. You know what I mean? That's where we at. So, and So you can do things like that, kind of get in the game and start learning the ropes. But it really comes down to what value do you bring, and find somebody who to partner with that has the opposite value add to make the deal happen.
Got it. And I know your mind is always going just on the creative side, side of making money. Because I'll never forget when you posted something recently where you actually had to actually go to the laundromat. You said, I could actually buy a laundromat or a piece of property and turn it into a laundromat and create another addition of income, another cash cow.
Absolutely.
People don't think about that.
Cash cow. Exactly. Because you know what, man? I haven't been to a laundromat in 12, 15 years. I don't know. It's been a long time, man. And so when our washers went on the fritz, you know, and I'm looking at, we're doing all these extra workouts, so our clothes are just piling up. I'm like, man, I got to wash these clothes.
Yeah.
So went to the laundromat, and I'm looking at this thing like, oh, my God. I completely forgot that this was a model, or this is a business, you know. It's the same difference.
Uh-huh.
Buy the building, get a mortgage, make sure you put enough, you know, machines in there and get it cash flowing or whatever. But, you know, we're still researching that, and that's something that I probably will do. But the big thing, as you mentioned, is being open, being, you know, my whole premise for that message was I have a statement, a mantra that I say every day that's different than my main mantra. And it's, I am open and receptive to all of the good and abundance from the universe. I'm just open. So, you know, not being locked into any particular thing and just being prepared for wherever God wants to take me in that moment, man. And, you know, that's really how I live my life now.
Wow. So I know that you're doing more investing. What made you get into that rather than have like an actual like just real estate company where you have agents working for you?
So my wife is the real estate agent in our house. So she has a company, LJ Realty Group, here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, top producing realtor. She handles that, you know, and she's putting her team together as well because we're doing some development now. And so she's going to handle the pre-sale and all that kind of stuff. For me, I really kind of stumbled into it. I loved the idea of being a landlord and owning a property that someone else would be making the payments on. And I, you know, again, by getting the first couple under my belt and seeing those be very profitable, I said, okay, well, this is a model. I need to acquire more doers. You know, that's probably the way that I need to go. My wife has on multiple occasions said, hey, why don't you just go ahead and get your license? And I may do that in 2023, but I'm the investor. I like structuring deals. I like to find good deals and merge those with good investors or, you know, with people who are looking to do some investing. I love that stuff. I love taking something that is a raw land or a beat up house and, you know, 6 months from now being able to show a beautiful family going into that house that, you know, fully renovated and changing their life. They were stacked up on top of each other in a 2-bedroom apartment. Now I'm able to get them a 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom house with a yard. So now they can have a dog that the kids been wanting, or they're in a better school district now. So the kids get exposure for their sports or whatever. So I like doing that part. And my wife, you know, she initially was like just partnering with me and helping me do the leasing and stuff like that. And she started going to these closings and realized the commissions that were going to these agents. She's like, so wait a minute, 11 grand, 12 grand. And that she barely did anything to help us. You know, and I could have did that. Well, I'm going to go get my license. I said, okay, hey, do your thing, man. So, but I do see, you know, because I'm in this space, I probably will end up getting my license and doing more commercial stuff, if anything. You know, I really like big properties, you know, multiple door projects and stuff like that. So that'll probably be what 2023 looks like.
Okay. And I think I sold myself short back probably around 10 years ago, because I was actually working with a home builder. And when that market tanked, what was that, back in 08?
Like 08, 09,
I mean, I was on my way home from visiting my daughter in Georgia, and I get a call from my supervisor, and basically she just lays me off while I'm in the airport. But so the thing is, I have the skills and knowledge just working with the superintendent. So I know like the whole building process. And it's just amazing where, I mean, I just didn't use what I knew and something that I was good at, right? And I didn't put that stuff into action.
Why not you?
Basically.
Come on, man.
Come
Why
on.
Why not you? Yep. Discipline, intentional, all them things you got on the side, man.
Right.
You still can do it.
I still can.
You know,
can.
The knowledge is still there. I mean, you know, we always are sharpening our irons, getting more information, but you understand that world.
Right.
Why not you? And there's guys like me that are always, you know, getting these properties. And, you know, the goal for me is to get those systems in place, get the team in place, and move on to the next thing. So having a property management team, having a good team to manage the properties and stuff is vital. And I know a dozen other cats out there that would really want to have a good, solid property management team running their properties and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, why not you?
Why not you?
Yes, so sir.
So most people just think about owning a property in their vicinity, like in their actual backyard. What are some of the benefits, man, of just buying property out of the state or just out of your county, you know?
Well, I will first say it's not for everyone because, again, I am a huge people person. I understand managing systems and people from my corporate life, you know, managing 100, you know, employees and different managers of managers. So I apply a lot of those systems in the properties that we have. So we have rental properties in San Antonio. We got stuff up here in the Dallas area, Kansas City, Kansas, and Atlanta. And the reason that we did it was really not, oh, hey, let's just buy stuff anywhere. We had boots on the ground in those places, right? Got so my mom lives in Kansas City. So, you know, we got her house to live in and she had some extra cash and was like, look, here's an opportunity for a house around the corner. She knew what we were doing. It's like, would you help me, you know, acquire this property? So yeah, well, let's do it. You know, so we bought one there and fixed it up, rented it out. My daughters, my son, you know, I got a granddaughter in Atlanta. My dad's in Atlanta, like all my siblings, a lot of them are in Atlanta. So that's where we lived. And it made sense for us to buy one there so that, you know, if we ever decided to move back, we just stopped renting that house and, you know, we moved back in that house. But I have my sister there as a realtor, so she could help me with the leasing of the property and showing the property and, you know, helping me with my GCs, contractors to get work done on the property. So the benefit, I believe, which is where you were wanted to go with the question, the benefit is that if you live in California and the average 3-bedroom, 2-bedroom house is $1.5 million or $1 million or whatever, that same house in Dallas is probably $350. That same house in, you know, Kansas City is $250, $200. You know what I mean? It's a different market. And so it allows you to do more with less. You know, you still need to do your due diligence, understand who you're in. Buyer is or in tenant or in, you know, I call my tenants clients, you know, technically because they are helping my business thrive. And so understanding where you want to be, you know, ultimately the goal is to have passive income anyway. So should, for me, it shouldn't matter where I'm investing as long as the market supports what I'm doing. That's and I got a team that I can put in place. It's just replicating the same steps in the new in a new market.
So this is, I mean, this is already, I mean, when you think about money, there's times when you make a good investment or you might make a bad investment. Have you ever made a bad investment where it just kind of just made you think about, damn, am I doing the right thing? Or kind of put some doubt and fear into you?
I had a bad one this year. And it wasn't planned that way. I mean, everything in the initial due diligence was done right, but couple of things happened. So I bought a duplex last December, and it wasn't your traditional duplex side by side or up and down. It was a house with an ADU, which is an additional dwelling unit in the back. that had its own separate water, power, a kitchen, a bathroom, a bedroom. And so I was able to lease both of those units out. When we got all the rehab done, we did everything that was projected to be done. Our appraisal came in back in March, like 3 months after, at 250. So we bought this house for 105,000. We put 60 into it. You know, we should have a nice little 90 grand little buffer there. Right. And so the appraisal came in, but there's this thing with refinancing a property. If you want to pull cash out, you have to have a seasoning period. You got to wait 6 months from the date that you deeded that property before you could pull the cash out. And I knew this, but, you know, moving fast, you know, we didn't really think about that and was like, all right, no big deal. Well, they said, all right, well, your appraisal was 250 in March, but we got to wait till June to do the deal. You know, everything's going to be fine. We're just going to reactivate the deal and cash you out. Well, from March to June, the market took a shift. Interest rates jumped up probably almost 2% from where they were in March to June. So lenders are now squeezing tighter. Their underwriting is different. You know, the valuations need to come in higher. Anyway, long story short, the appraisal in June comes back at only 190. You know, that's 60K light. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, still got to do it. But you just plan, adjust, you know, instead of refinancing that and renting it, I'm going to have to just sell it because I know I can sell it for the 250. Right. But as far as getting the cash out and all that, so I just had to shift my model, have a backup plan, know your business.
Yeah.
If, when you know your business, then you can always adjust. And the other big thing, D. Wells, man, is that we can't let fear and worry consume us. You have to always be solution-based. Like, what's the solution? Because you can sit there and wallow in your mire and be sad. And, man, this thing didn't even work out, man. I'm stupid. I can't do this. Nah, man. I got people depending on me. I have, you know, investors that are participating. So we got to still make this thing happen. And so you just adjust and you keep moving forward. And this old man told me one time, bad news does not age well. So don't, you know, when something is not looking right, immediately confront it. Be responsible. Talk to your people. Let them know what's going on. And if you need to make any adjustments. So anyway, yes, to your question, there are going to be bad investments. Even as a seasoned investor, the market dictates sometimes how things are going to go, or maybe you get a bad contractor. It's just, there's a lot of different moving parts. And so you just have to kind of, you know, navigate, baby, you know, just keep it moving. Bob and weave. Yeah. Shoot. Keep it moving.
Now, do you think you'll be at this level of success if you haven't, like, invested in yourself as far as, like, personal development?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, and there's, like I said, there's been a multitude of people who have poured into me over the years that believed in me when I didn't believe in me. You know, so you got to have that circle. You know, that's what King's Accountability Group does for me as well. You know, I've been in there 4 or 5 years. So that brotherhood has helped a lot. You know, having the right people on your team that aren't just yes men or women that just want to say, oh, yeah, because Vic said it, it must be right. Nah, man, I don't know everything. You know, I see it one way, but you have a whole different prism to look through. So, you know, but the personal development, I think this is a good time to mention it. So I wrote a book. Well, my virtual screen blocking it up a little bit, but I wrote a book that basically talks about, you know, the things that I specifically went through. It's called Proven Pathways to Wealth and Happiness. And with this book, I outlined things that I did. Like, you know, I had to sit down one day and just write down, who do I want to be? And what does that person do? And what does their daily routine look like? You know, and at that time, I was running call centers, mostly in the collections industry. So I understood about, you know, how debt impacts your credit score and the things that you need to do to improve those things. And so not only was I telling other people how to do it, I actually decided to apply it to my own life and fix my credit score. And you know, and changed my attitude. And so, you know, in that book, I talk about the specific practical steps that I took to change, you know, my perspective and attract more favorable outcomes to me, right? Yeah. And so I'm constantly reading other personal development books to constantly improve on myself.
Wow. So this brother is an investor and an author.
Yes.
So as you reading though, are you that type of reader when you're just, when you're reading stuff for information and knowledge, are you writing in the margins, writing notes? Or if you have like a revealing thought, you'd be like, oh man, I just need to, I need to dig in and listen into this a little bit more.
So not only that, so I definitely jot notes. I'm a huge highlighter, you know, I highlight a lot of key lines and things like that. But I also use my phone to make sure that I put like reminders in. Oh, I need to do this. That's a great idea. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., I'm going to try that, or I'm going to implement that thing, or I'm going to do that thing. I live by my phone notifications, you know, and they're going off all throughout the day because I'm either repeating my mantra to myself or I'm reminding myself to take an action to push a certain goal that we're working on forward another few steps, you know. Just very important, I think, that you not only read information but apply the information you're reading. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just a smart non-action taker. Like, you know, that's it's like, you know, you want to make changes, right? You want to see the results of what you're doing, and you can't do it unless you take action. You know, I think Tony Robbins, he always says, know your outcome and take massive action. Yeah. Take massive action. You know what I mean? Don't worry about the fear. You know, this is crazy, man. Yesterday, I got to be part of a leadership camp. So here in my city, I'm part of the Chamber of Commerce, and I was elected, or somehow I got selected to be part of this leadership crew. That's for the next 10 months. They're teaching you different stuff about the city and kind of understanding the civics around your city government and things like that. So there was a leadership camp, and there's this three-story high zip line. So you got to climb up this thing, you know, and you climb up, and that's no problem for me. I'm like, oh, I'm going up this thing like I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But then you're actually up at the top and you're looking down this three stories, and it's not, you're harnessed, but it's not like a whole bunch of harnesses going on. There's a zip line, and at some point you got to jump off of this ledge and get to zipping. And you know, even in that moment, there was a fear, like, oh, man, I'm not about to climb back down that little ladder thing. I gotta go down this way. So for 2 seconds, as you're jumping, you're like, ah, oh, this is okay. I'm good, you know. And that's how I kind of like to approach life, man. I see the fear, but I'm going to do it anyway, you know, and I think that's a good mantra for people to apply to their life.
Yeah. So how has faith actually empowered you to take and to, you know, just initiate action and get over that fear?
Well, I'm a definite believer in God, and I've seen his work in my life in multiple scenarios that I have no possible way of explaining how I got through certain things. So for sure, I'm a faith-filled man. And I guess technically that's where it starts, is believing that God's going to take care of me and mine. And all I got to do is just be honorable to his word and do my thing. And so faith has played a big part. I mean, I can even remember back in like 1990, I took a trip to Jamaica with like this student exchange program. And so they call in Jamaica, Jah is God, right? Jah, J-A-H is God. And so I had a little statement that I picked up maybe from a song or somebody out there, is like, Jah, guide and protect me. And, you know, I was me at 16, 17 years old. And I say that so many times, even now throughout my day, is just, I know he's guiding me and protecting me. And, you know, I lean to God. So faith has been a huge part of my life. My grandmother got me involved in church early on, and I may not be as consistent with the church going, but church is in my heart for sure. And God is definitely there and a huge part of what I do on my daily activities.
Yeah. And there's to me, I mean, there's so much that you can actually learn, you know, just from reading the Bible, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, just the stories, right?
Yes.
And what you shared about your mom being in Kansas and looking at property and sharing property with you guys. I think sometimes people get to a point in their lives where they reach a certain age and they feel like, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. But when you read the Bible and you apply some of the things, let's just say use Moses, for example, pushing 80, and God has an assignment for him. And he carries out that assignment, right? So he's taking the Israelites through the wilderness, and this lasts for years.
Yes.
Years. So
yes.
If God gives you an assignment to do, he puts something on your heart. I just need to do what Vic is saying. Yeah. Take that action and have the faith, right?
No age limit on it, man. Right. I mean, you know, I think a good exercise for people of any age, of any whatever limitation you feel like you have, is when you go to bed at night, as you lay yourself down, just ask God, you know, what is your mission for me? You know, what is your plan for me? Because he'll reveal to you in your sleep things that he wants you to do, or ideas will come to you, right, and have a notepad or something on on your nightstand, you know, so you could jot them things down in case you get up at 2 a.m., run to the restroom and got a brain idea that comes to your brain. But, you know, there is no age limit. My dad is 83, and I just recently sent him a book, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. I think that's one you're familiar with. Yeah. And, you know, there's a couple chapters in there that specifically talk to, you know, don't let age hinder you from doing things. You know, your subconscious is still, there is no age on your subconscious. So, you know, whatever you want to do, don't let the number, the credit, the dollars, lot, you know, stop you from it and freeze you up. Just keep moving forward and definitely have God involved in your life for sure.
All the habits that you've had to implement, has it changed your life to where you're actually more disciplined and focused with, you know, just from the time you're waking up to, I don't know, whether it's reading, working out, you have things itemized on the schedule, on the calendar?
Yes. So I'm a big habit stacker. I love to do things, you know, consistently. That way it kind of takes out the emotional part of it. Like, you know, I don't feel like it today. Nah, just I'm going to get through my routine.
Right.
Just makes me feel more confident that I did get up. I made my bed. I did my first workout. You know, I drank some water, whatever the routines are. I'm big on meditating in the morning and just kind of controlling my day first.
Yeah.
And all of that has had a huge impact on me, right? I mean, if you look at the most successful people in life, they have a set of routines that they follow at the beginning of their day, whether it's, you know, they work overnight and it's in the nighttime. If they're, you know, traditional daytime workers and early, they're getting up. Look at E.T., you know, he's up at 3 a.m. every morning, you know, and he's doing a call with hundreds of people, you know, getting them fired up or whatever. But having something in the morning to set your day on fire, you're not going to control every aspect of the day, but it definitely will help you to be able to deal with it and, as much as possible, create the type of day that you want. I'm very big on my logo or slogan is create your future self. Like, create your future self. With the actions you do today, 5 years from now, you'll be thanking yourself for what you did today. So you got to just stick to the routines, especially those people that are in business, in sales, in jobs that require them to make calls or to do touches to their database. You know, it can become very discouraging to have a full week go by, you making these calls and you don't feel like anything is happening. But that's where they talk about the journey, right? You got to embrace that. You know what? I'm doing what I love. I'm going to be able to help people with whatever I'm offering to them. So I got to make that phone call because I could be leaving that person out of an opportunity to be helped by me. And you got to shift the perspective of your business to really be about the business and not just the dollars. You know, Because you don't get a sale on the same day that you made the call doesn't mean your business is not, you know, a successful business.
Correct.
You just got to be consistent with it. And if you don't like doing those things, you got to go hire somebody who likes doing those things for your business, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just it's important that you have a routine to your day to get started. I think it, for me, it has been life changing to be able to, you know, have those set things that I know that I can depend on, yeah. and then be done with them and say, well, I got that done for the morning, so I feel good. I already got a couple wins under my belt.
Yeah, absolutely. So at this phase in your in life, how would you define success?
Man, that's a great question. You know, for me, success is having freedom, the freedom to be able to do as you please, when you please, how you, you know, wherever you want to go, who you want to help. I think that's success. Obviously, that means you do have to have some type of a revenue stream coming in to support that. But, you know, wealth comes in a lot of ways. You know, wealth is having an abundance of good health. You know, I'm blessed that today at 48 years old, I still can get up and zip line and climb up, you know, a post and do stuff. And I feel great, you know, having an abundance of love around me. You know, I have a wonderful wife. I got kids, grandkids, and brothers that, you know, I love to connect with that, you know, and family members. So I think we just got to look at everything. Like, success is not just money. Right. Success is being wealthy in all areas of your life. So that's what, for me, success is just that freedom to feel, to be authentic in who you really are, to help the people you want to help, do the things you want to do, and not having any limitation or hindrance to doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, to wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? I really want to go out and help some kids get some school bags for school, you know, and being in a position where, you know, you could tap in and get $500 together real quick and go buy a bunch of school bags for some kids, whatever that is. That to me is success. And it's going to be different for everybody. But I think we need to open up more than just thinking about dollars when we're talking about success.
Wow. I believe that's so true. So many people I see who are really successful are the ones who are giving and serving. Right. They find something that they have to give or to share with somebody. And then it ends up coming back tenfold. People don't even recognize it.
Man, enough of us don't think. I really believe we're here to serve. I mean, that's our entire purpose, is to come to this earth, be the most you could be so that you could serve the most people that you can. Right. I mean, you know, and you're going to have people around you that think you're being selfish. Nah, man, God wants you to be the ultimate version of you that you can be, because that's the only way that you can service this planet, right? Mm-hmm. And those of us that get that, or once we finally get it, you know, sometimes it takes us a minute. It took me a minute to understand that life is not just about how much money I can stack up, you know? It's about the lives that I can impact. And, you know, this book that I was telling you about, where it talks about writing down those 50 people that influenced you in life, it's called "What Got You Here Won't Get You There." And basically, you know, the premise of the book is just, how can you become someone who can make somebody else successful, can make other people flourish in their life? You know, once you have what you need to have, give. You gotta give.
That's like the number one leadership principle right there, right?
Gotta give, bro. Yep. Gotta give. Yep.
Absolutely. So before we end this great call, man, this has been a blessing. Is there anything that you could share amongst the listeners, man, just about pursuing ideas and dreams?
Well, I think, you know, you're going to get multiple ideas and dreams that come to you. Always having something to jot those things down is important, because the way that subconscious mind works, you know, it'll send you something that could be completely life-changing. But if you didn't take the moment to jot it down and go explore it more and expound on it, then you just lost that opportunity until it comes back to you again. So just being always in a position where you're open and you're in a position to jot down those receptive things that are coming into you is really big. And again, you know, having a goal for where you want to go, like a destination for who you want to be. Don't always get caught up with, well, I can't be that because that means I would have to have this, 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 and this.
Right.
Focus on who you want to become, mm-hmm. what would really make you happy, and reverse engineer. Write that down. And then, okay, well, for me to do that, I've got to become this. For me to become that, I got to start changing this. For me to change that, I got to alter the times that I get up, or I got to adjust the habits, you know, the distractions that are coming in, stealing my day. Uh-huh. Or I need to change the circle that I'm in. Like, so, but it all starts with where you want to end up, wow. and the intentionality of your actions. And so that would be, I guess, you know, my thing is set some clear goals, be able to write down some stuff mm-hmm. when it comes into your head, and really believe in yourself. And the last thing, like I said, is create your future self. Have a vision for what that future you looks like and what your future you is doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do you need to do to become that person and get those things to be reality to you?
Right. Y'all heard it. Y'all heard it from Vic. Y'all heard it.
This has been beautiful, man. Yeah,
I appreciate
it. Why not you?
Why not
whoever's
you?
Looking at it, why not you?
You.
I'm talking to you. You can do this.
That's right.
Yourself. You can do it. I'm telling you. Yep.
That's it. I appreciate it, Vic. For real. This has been good. We got to do
it. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for having me on. I feel honored to be part of the Why Not You podcast, my man D Wells. It's just been a blessing, man. Again, if I can help in any way, people can find me at Victor_V_Johnson on Instagram or 555 Equity LLC all over social media. I'd love to help you if you want to get involved with real estate or want to learn the ropes. Hit me up.
That's right.
Hey, thank you for joining me on this episode of Why Not You. Mr. Victor Vonico Johnson, the Don, put it down for us. Hey, in our next episode, I will have AJ Williams. Also, another Texan, owner, operator, CEO of Wilco Contractors and Flip Squad Property Solutions. And you all have a blessed week.